thank you so much for joining me on the show today. This is the Diabetes Show on UK Health Radio, your global, real, feel-good radio station. My name is Peter Alton of Undefeated, and I'm your host for today and the coming weeks. Hello, and it's great to welcome you once again to the Diabetes Show here on UK Health Radio. Thank you so much for joining us here again this week. Hope you've had a fantastic week. Over here in the UK, we've had a bit of a heat wave. We had, I think it was last Friday, it actually got up to 37 degrees, which for here is very hot. And it's a very humid heat as well. And all over the weekend, it's been pretty intense. I've been working in my clinics and also in a nursing home one day as well, where you are in plastic aprons, latex gloves. Actually, not latex these days. We use nitrile gloves because there's not as much chance of allergy to them. And masks. It's been intense, shall we say. So I really feel for what those people in the front line in hospitals have had to go through throughout the pandemic, with even more heavy duty PPE on. It must have been pretty shocking. And again, let's give them a round of applause, a virtual round of applause to the healthcare workers who have kept things going and saved lives throughout the pandemic. I want to just make a point actually about this heat that we are having right now, because heat obviously brings with it some dangers of its own, some of the symptoms of not having enough water on board and of getting too hot, some of those symptoms can get a bit mixed up with diabetes as well. So the symptoms of diabetes, some of them are excessive thirst. Well, hot weather brings that along. Tiredness, yes, that comes along. Irritability can also be there. Going to the toilet more often, usually because you are drinking more, because you are hotter. With diabetes, you're drinking more because you are thirsty. So all of these things really can mask whether or not somebody actually is developing diabetes. Type 2 is a more gradual thing, but type 1, there have been some concerns. I came up from the news this week, actually, that over in Wales, a study has shown that over the March to mid-June period, 33 children were diagnosed with type 1 diabetes, compared to 48 during the same period last year. And it's just highlighted that there are possibly some people who are not aware of the dangers of type 1, of the symptoms of type 1, and they might just be putting it down to irritability during lockdown, or to the hot weather, getting more thirsty, going to the toilet more often. Sometimes kids are more likely to wet the bed as well. And this article was saying, or was pointing out, the danger of leaving type 1 diabetes undiagnosed, because it can develop into life-threatening diabetic ketoacidosis, which is where your blood sugars have got so high that you end up with burning ketones and getting ketones in your blood and in your urine as well. Particularly if you have got a child already with type 1 diabetes, then there is potentially a genetic tendency there. You may well have other kids who could develop it as well. Even last week, actually, you heard the interviewee, Pamela Haywood, who developed the glucose SOS product. And if you didn't listen to that and you have type 1 diabetes, then do go and listen to it, because it is an amazing product that she developed. And she developed it because she has two daughters with type 1 diabetes. And in it, she talks about the diagnosis of the second one particularly, and how it came as a surprise. But as soon as she saw the symptoms, she knew what the situation was. Likewise with my daughter with type 1. She's the only one with type 1 that we know of in our family history. But when she got ill over the course of a holiday, when we were on holiday, I was already beginning to think that those symptoms were beginning to look like diabetes. At that point in my career, if you like, I wasn't quite so clued in to diabetes. It's mainly her diagnosis and my previous with type 2 that has led me to become so passionate about helping people with diabetes. If it hadn't been for her diagnosis, I don't think I would be doing this radio show now. So please, if you suspect type 1 diabetes, then please do get it seen to. It is really a medical emergency when somebody goes into diabetic ketoacidosis. You can die of it. So if you have any concerns at all, go and get your child checked out, or yourself checked out for that matter, because it's not just children. Adults can develop type 1 diabetes as well. And whilst we're talking about it simulating this hot weather, the effects of this hot weather, then please do remember to drink plenty of water during this time. Don't be tempted to go drinking cans of Coke or other fizzy drinks laden with sugars in them, or even the diet drinks for that matter, laden with false sugars, these sweeteners which can trigger your brain into thinking it's sugar sometimes. So please be careful what you drink, and drink plenty of water. I carry around with me a 2 litre bottle, in fact a couple of 2 litre bottles of water in my clinic, and when I go to the nursing home I always have plenty of water with me. It is a bit of a nightmare, mind you, when you're wearing masks all day, having to remember to take the mask off to have the water. Let's have a look at a couple more news items, or a few more news items actually, from diabetes.co.uk now. So you can go to that website, diabetes.co.uk, to look at these in more detail. We're just going to touch on them. And the first one is that people who restrict television watching and screen time to 2 hours a day live longer, according to a study by the University of Glasgow. It says that scientists say that the risk of developing cancer and cardiovascular disease are reduced if screen time is reduced to 120 minutes or less. I was quite impressed to see that this study, it wasn't just a sort of a flash-in-the-pan five-minute study. It was a study of nearly 500,000 people aged from 37 to 73 over a period spanning from 2006 to 2018. So do go along to diabetes.co.uk and have a look at that if you haven't already had your 2 hours of screen time today. If you have, then save it for tomorrow, okay? Make sure you're keeping to your screen time down. And actually, while I think about it, tell all your friends about the radio, because when you're on the radio, you don't have to be looking at screens. You can focus on what we're saying. You can learn loads. It's a great way of spending the time, maybe whilst you're doing the gardening or doing something else, the washing up or the cooking or whatever. You can listen to the radio in the background, not a screen in sight. Next news item on diabetes.co.uk. I think we have touched on it before, and it's just to hammer this home to us if you haven't heard it before, or if you haven't really taken note of it. In an American study, 40% of American coronavirus victims had diabetes. That was an analysis of 15 states within America. 40% of 10,000 death certificates that they looked at, those victims had diabetes. And apparently it is half of people aged under 65 who died with coronavirus had diabetes. So, you know, diabetes is obviously a massive factor in how badly you get affected if you do get this virus. And this virus ain't going away anytime soon. So please look after yourselves. Make sure you are trying to do all you can to socially distance, not take any risks, and doing all you can yourself to prevent, hopefully, developing that disease. The next one is some really exciting news, particularly for those of us with children with type 1 diabetes, and that is that scientists in Israel, actually, a company called Betalin Therapeutics, they have been working on an implantable micro pancreas with the ability to produce insulin in response to blood glucose levels. They're looking to test it in the UK. It's been tested on animals in the past. Now they're looking to test it on humans here in the UK. They'll be submitting that request soon, and who knows whether that will take place here in the UK or where it's going to take place. It reckons that it would last for 2 years, and then it could be replaced, and the cost is likely to be $40,000 per implant. So you want to see more about that? Do go to diabetes.co.uk's website. Final one, diabetes.co.uk, is about the flu jab over here in England, the flu vaccine. They're going to be pushing it more and more for people with diabetes and the elderly and those at risk, of course, to try and prevent getting seasonal flu in a bid to try and reduce the impact of the second wave of coronavirus, which is expected. Because if you get the flu and coronavirus, you are going to be in, or potentially you're going to be in, a bit of a state. So I think I normally do get the flu jab myself. I think it is worth getting it, and get in touch with your doctor, find out when that's going to be available. In fact, Boris Johnson said he wants everyone to have a flu jab in the run-up to this winter to protect the NHS in the winter months, because we've still got the COVID around and the threat of a second spike. It's vital, therefore, to keep the pressure off the NHS by everybody getting a flu jab. And remember that flu actually is quite a killer as well. So let's all do what we can to try and minimise the risk to ourselves and to our loved ones. So that's all I could find in the news this week. I'm going to be doing an interview shortly after the first song, and the first song was chosen by my interviewee. And I'm going to tell you that this gentleman works for an aerospace company. Okay, that's going to get your minds wondering, what on earth is he going to be talking about to do with diabetes? Well, I'm going to leave you to think about that. We're going to listen to a song, and then after that song, we will have him on talking about something to do with aeroplanes and air travel. I'm beginning to whet your appetites, aren't I? Anyway, the song he chose is by a band called The Surfaces, and the song is called Sunday Best. I hope you enjoy it.
The challenge, all you gotta do is leave it better than you found it. It's gonna get difficult to stand, but hold your balance. I just say whatever, cause there is no way you're grounded. Everyone falls down sometimes, but you just gotta know it'll all be fine. It's okay, it's okay, it's okay. And nothing works, you feel surrounded. Gotta give your feet some gravity to get you grounded. Keep your things inside your ears just like the waves and sound it. And just say whatever, cause there is no way you're grounded. Everyone falls down sometimes, but you just gotta know it'll all be fine. It's okay, it's okay. Sunday best, hey, feeling good, like I should. When in Doku, walk around the neighborhood, feeling blessed, never stressed. Got the sunshine on my Sunday best.
Okay, that was
Sunday Best by The Surfaces, and that was chosen by our guest today. You're listening to The Diabetes Show here on UK Health Radio, and when I introduce my guest for today, you might be forgiven for thinking, are you actually on The Diabetes Show? Because the guest today is Jim Currier, and he is the president of Honeywell Aerospace. What on earth has that got to do with diabetes? Well, not a lot, but I think you'll find what he's got to say helpful. Welcome to the show, Jim.
Thank you, Peter. Thank you for having me here.
It's great to have you. I came across this story, and at first I thought, can I fit that in somewhere? And I think actually it will be helpful to the listeners. It's helpful to people generally, I think, but particularly maybe people with diabetes have got particular concerns about what we're going to be talking about. Now, before I forget, you chose that last song, okay? It wasn't my choice. The listeners will appreciate the fact that it wasn't my choice. Tell us a little bit about why you chose that particular song.
You know, that particular song for me is just a very uplifting, feel-good sort of a song. Helps get me motivated. It's got a very uplifting beat associated with it. And quite frankly with everything that's occurring around the world, I just like to surround myself with some feel-good music and some positive sentiments, because, you know, obviously music has a large impact on how we feel day to day, and that's just a feel-good song for me.
That's a good enough reason for me, and hopefully it made the listeners feel good as well. Usually I check the lyrics. The time I don't check the lyrics, that's when a bad word gets through. But I did check the lyrics, and I was actually quite interested, being a podiatrist. One line says, gotta give your feet some gravity, and then it goes on to say, to get you grounded, which possibly isn't a good word in your industry.
That's a very good point.
Honeywell Aerospace, I had never heard of them before. Forgive me, I'm not in that sector. But actually, I think a lot of people actually, unbeknownst, should have heard of you in some respects, or at least will probably be familiar with some of your technology. Tell us a little bit about what Honeywell Aerospace are all about.
Sure, and quite frankly, I'm not surprised when you say, you know, necessarily make that correlation between Honeywell Aerospace and, in particular, aircraft. Interestingly enough, I mean, when I tell folks that I work for Honeywell, one of the initial things they come back and say, oh, you must deal with thermostats, because that's sort of what Honeywell's known for. Fact of the matter is, when I tell them I'm part of the aerospace group, I get that question that you just posed, which is, well, really, Honeywell and aerospace, what is it that they actually do? And quite simply, there isn't a single aircraft in either the commercial aviation segment or in the defense segment that does not fly with some of our technology on board the aircraft. That's a broad statement to make.
Yeah.
But it's true. You know, we are on board every single aircraft. So anytime you board a commercial aircraft flying from point A to point B, somewhere in that aircraft you have our technology on board the aircraft. And we actually cover it from nose to tail. If you think about what's in the nose of an aircraft in terms of weather radar systems, you go into the cockpit where the pilots are at, you have avionics systems, flight control systems, flight management systems. We're going to talk a little bit today about environmental control systems, the auxiliary power units on the aircraft, jet engines for business aviation. All of those technologies that we design, develop, and field and are located on all of these aircraft that I mentioned that we fly worldwide, whether they're commercial or defensive space. And we've been doing this for 100 years, over a century now, and with really one singular purpose, and that's really just find those challenges that are out there in the aerospace industry that are affecting the industry and incorporate our technologies to make it safer and more comfortable to fly.
Wow, and I guess you've had some challenges pretty recently, and that's really what we're here to talk about today. So, many people, my wife in particular. She travels a lot. Many people are very apprehensive about travelling at the moment because of being cooped up in a tube for a period of time when the person next to you or the person a few hours away could be coughing and spluttering with COVID-19, of course. It's particularly, and this is why I've got you on the diabetes show, it's particularly worrying for people with diabetes because we, as people with diabetes, are so much more susceptible to the germ, the COVID-19, and once somebody with diabetes gets it, the outcome is a bit more likely to be dodgy. In fact, in America, I don't know if you've heard this stat, but 40% of the people who have actually not made it with COVID-19 have actually had diabetes, which is which is a pretty horrendous statistic. So, you know, people with diabetes, they want to travel just as much as anyone else does. I've got a history of diabetes. My daughter's got type 1 diabetes. My wife wants to get back traveling again. She doesn't want to bring anything back to us. Please share with us what are the main concerns that people do have about it, just share that first of all. What are the concerns that people really have about traveling at the moment?
Yeah, so I'll tell you. Recently, we did a survey, rather informal survey, but we touched about 1,000 different respondents. And we asked them specifically, what are those things that concern you the most about traveling again, you know, getting on board an aircraft? And roughly 70% of those respondents indicated that their biggest concern was lacking confidence around the cleanliness of the aircraft, specifically the environment in the aircraft, the air quality within the aircraft. And then the remaining were more concerned about, you know, social distancing and or cleanliness in the airport. But clearly the top priority was, you know, the environment, you know, within the aircraft itself. Then we also asked, well, how do you rebuild that? How can we help you rebuild that confidence? What would we need to do in order to do that? And overwhelmingly, the respondents came back and indicated that it was really about technology. They wanted to see advances in technology to drive cleanliness within the aircraft. They did not want to see it done by hand. They really wanted to visually see this technology being used. So we took a lot of that back, and we've been developing, and very quickly we're able to prototype various technologies and incorporate these technologies on the aircraft to actually make them safer on a go-forward basis. So really it's about the environment inside the aircraft was the primary concern that passengers were relating back to us.
Right. So you're actually saying that some of these, this new technology has actually been developed during this period of time that we've been locked down and what have you. It's been that quick.
Yes, some of it has, and we have some of it now on our roadmap based upon that feedback.
Wow, brilliant. That's how sometimes in the face of adversity, things actually progress for the good. So, yeah, great, well done. Okay, so can you just share what some of the risks are that people talk about? I mean, I've been on planes where, you know, literally you feel like you don't want to touch anything. I'm not going to name the airline, it looks filthy, let alone, you know, it looks old and not cared for and what have you. And you wonder whether you're actually going to get from A to B. What are the big things that people are concerned about when it comes to the actual airplane itself?
So I think there's two elements of it. I will think about the air quality itself within the cabin, and then also the surfaces, you know, within the cabin as well. That are two primary points of concern. In terms of air quality, I hear a lot, particularly as of late, a little bit of a misunderstanding of the cabin air that is circulating through an aircraft. I hear a lot that it's be stale, or we're just recirculating the same air, you know, through the aircraft. And that actually is not true. The air in the cabin is circulated through the cabin about 20 times per hour. And the way it works, simplistically speaking for a moment, is you take the cabin air, and then we bring in air, which is bleed air off of an engine, highly compressed air. We mix it with the cabin air, and then we pass that air through HEPA filters, which are basically filters that have the same quality as what you would see in an operating room, as an example. then that refreshed air, which is a combination of 50% of it is cabin air, 50% of it is this compressed air, it goes through HEPA filters, it's refreshed, and then reintroduced back into the aircraft. And that bleed air that I'm talking about, that comes, that highly compressed bleed air that comes off of the engine, is actually passed through ozone converters that scrub that air before it is mixed with the cabin air. So we're basically recirculating only 50% of that and then circulating it back out 20 times per hour.
Okay, so by the time you get to the air up, it's been diluted considerably from what it was originally.
Yes.
Okay, brilliant.
And I think that's a big misunderstanding that folks don't realize, that that air truly is circulated throughout the aircraft. And then what we also have done, and we are developing and deploying here, is technology that actually looks at the circulation within the aircraft itself. So we can monitor whether we do see, for some reason, you know, a lack of circulation in a particular area, take actions, drive more circulation, you know, through that part of the aircraft, just to continue that flow going on through the aircraft system itself in the cabin.
Okay. So from your work there, any plane that hasn't got any of your technology in there for this, which seat shouldn't we sit in at the moment?
I mean, it's a technology that's used. You know, I would say, you know, it's very dependent upon the HEPA filters. The exact design of them is very dependent upon the ozone converters that are being done and that bleed system for consistency. And we're very proud of our system, and we're very confident on its operation.
Right. Well, it makes sense that it has to be fresh air being added in, because otherwise you'd run out of oxygen, wouldn't you, after a certain amount of time?
Yeah, that's true. That's very, very true.
But yeah, you never really thought of it that way before. You always thought it was the same air being, you know, I've heard it before, and I've always sort of, yep, in my mind thought, yep, that, I suppose. Yeah. Okay.
That's exactly right.
So the air is not stale, and it is recirculated. So in theory, it shouldn't be any more dangerous than going into your local shop, into your supermarket or something like that.
Possibly. Absolutely. And in some cases, I would say, quite frankly, it's actually safer.
Right.
You know, I mean, I do see, you know, reports, and I do see technologies being deployed in you know, restaurants or in stores to try to drive that circulation. But, you know, you got a large amount of space, you know, in a store, being able to flip that air 20 times per hour like we do on an aircraft is extremely difficult to do. Yeah. And hence, that's why I think, you know, when you think about the air quality on the aircraft, in that circulation that's going through, the scrubbing action, the passing it 20 times in an hour through a HEPA filter is extremely beneficial to producing a safer environment.
Wow. Okay, so I had a look at your website earlier on. I suspect you're going to come on to this anyway, but I just want to impress you that I've actually had a look at it. And it talks here about some new technology, which is the ultraviolet cleaning system. Is this, you're talking about the surfaces there, I assume?
Correct. That's the secondary aspect we were talking about here, the quality of the air, and then now looking at the surfaces themselves. And you're right. We have just deployed some UVC lighting systems to actually, within the aircraft, to address and help clean an aircraft.
Okay. So that would be switched on whilst the passengers are in there, or is that be in between flights?
No, it's in between flights. Yeah. It's in between. So if you think of it as the size of a beverage cart, it has articulating arms on either side of it. So you move it into position at the front end of the aircraft, at the first aisle. You articulate the arms, and now you're actually anywhere that UVC lighting is hitting. So the seats, the seat belts, the tray tables, you put them down. You do the tray tables when they're down, and when you come back, you put the tray tables up. So you can get the outside surfaces as well, window shades, baggage compartments up above, any high-touch surfaces. You literally can take this beverage cart system, run it down a single-aisle aircraft. So think about the typical Boeing or Airbus single-aisle aircraft. You can do this cleaning operation in about a 10-minute time frame.
Wow.
Very, very inexpensively to clean the aircraft. And you typically would do it, or you could do it, you know, in between flights. You can get that regularity of cleaning through a UVC system. And the technology has been tried and proven before, used in many other applications. Primarily, you'll see it in hospital environment, surgical area, and they use the UVC technology to kill a lot of the pathogens.
Yeah, one of my trolleys for work, that had a UV light in it for, you know, storage of instruments in between sterilization. Okay, so that's sort of not in all aircraft yet, but it's pushing it out there and trying to get companies to invest in that, yeah?
It is, and it's beginning a lot of interest. In fact, one of our airline customers in the United States has actually now deployed the system. And they're utilizing it, and they're the first airline worldwide, globally, that is incorporating this technology. We have demo units now that have been deployed globally around the world. We're doing a lot of demos in the U.S. We actually have a system that we've just deployed to the U.K. We have a system that we've deployed to the Middle East, and we've also deployed a couple of systems in the Pacific region as well, where we are working with airline companies, we're working with ground handling companies, and allowing that technology to be demonstrated on the aircraft, prove the technology, and then move forward for full implementation at an airport.
Wow, okay. Pity it's not actually being used whilst you're in the plane. You could sort of turn it into sort of almost like a nightclub atmosphere, couldn't you, with the ultraviolet light, add some flashing lights as well?
Yes, yes.
But mind you, it shows up dirt as well, doesn't it? I believe ultraviolet light. It'll show up certain stains, so that's probably
yeah.
Okay, brilliant. Any other technology you want to share with us? Any other aspects of?
I think in terms of advancing some of the methods around addressing, you know, concerns that passengers have with travel. Excuse me, we're actually looking at the entire passenger experience. So we focused our conversation here thus far on the aircraft itself, you know, the interior of the aircraft. Mm. But when you think about the passenger experience, from the moment you walk into the terminal, you go through the check-in process, you go through the security process, you go to the gate, you go to the boarding process, now you're in the aircraft, you spoke about. Then you get off the aircraft, and you kind of reverse that process to get back out of the terminal. You know, we're looking at this not just from a pure aerospace perspective of just the aircraft itself. We're looking at the entire passenger experience. Mm. And I think Honeywell is very uniquely positioned in this industry to be able to support that. So if you look at outside of our aero business group, and you look at our performance materials group, you look at our home, our building technologies group, our connected enterprise group, our safeties and product solutions group, every single one of our strategic business groups that encompass what Honeywell International is can play and does participate in that entire passenger experience in terms of driving cleanliness and safety health. Through that whole process. So we're deploying technologies in airports, whether that technology is infrared cameras, whether that technology is actually monitoring the flow of traffic through the airport. Are you getting too much congestion in a particular area? Are you seeing people not wearing masks in another particular area? We can actually analyze that from a software standpoint, gather up all that data, feed that information back to a command and control center that will identify where there may be concerns throughout the airport itself. And the same thing around quality of the air. We can monitor that in like manner how we do with the aircraft itself. And this way we can provide those analytics to the airport personnel. Mm-hmm. We can identify key areas of concern and then actually propose solutions to those that would actually drive actions that the airport personnel would take to alleviate a potential concern that may have been identified in the process. So we're actually looking at those technologies from, again, entry into the terminal, that entire passenger experience, and then when you exit the terminal on the other end upon your arrival at your location. And those would be the various technologies that we're developing along that pathway.
Yeah. Okay, brilliant. So you're doing a lot to help the safety of passengers, particularly it sounds like in the plane, you know, actually intervening to make it cleaner. I think despite that, the bottom line is it falls on the passenger themselves, the person themselves, to take their own responsibility for their journey. You know, you just mentioned the journey through, you know, arriving at the airport, getting through all those different things. Their own attention to hygiene and cleanliness, for their own sake and for the sake of their fellow passengers, is really paramount. What can you maybe suggest that people who choose to travel by air, what can they do to further minimize any risks from their actions, as it were?
Well, I think you hit on a couple of those, right? I mean, we have to share at some level a personal responsibility, right? To minimize risk for ourselves, minimize risk for our families, minimize risk for others. So I think we all share that responsibility. And I think, you know, beyond the technologies that we're talking about, that are being introduced to drive a healthier and safer experience in regards to air travel, they still follow the same typical protocols that you hear on a day in and day out basis. You know, make sure you're social distancing at the airport, utilize personal protection equipment, you know, mask in the airport, you know, have your hand sanitizer with you, you know, your alcohol wipes with you. Because again, you know, the technology is a tremendous benefit to driving this safer travel experience. But at the end of the day, if we're not holding ourselves personally responsible as well to augment the technology that's in place, we're not going to be able to realize the full benefit that everything can provide together. So I would just say continue with personal protection equipment, maintain your social distancing, add the technology on top of it, and be responsible.
Brilliant. Okay, cool. And I guess as well, for people should realize that if they are in an area where they're being ushered to another area because of congestion, that it's not just because it's some busybody security guard trying to get them to do it. It's actually because things like your technology is telling the command center that, hey, this area is becoming dangerous. Anything else you want to say before we sort of close out the interview? You've been really fantastic. I think it's really going to be putting people's minds at rest. But anything else you wanted to add to that?
No, I mean, first and foremost, I just welcome the opportunity and thank you again for the opportunity to talk a little bit about what we're doing here at Honeywell, again, to drive a safer and healthier experience, you know, for passengers. We're fully committed to this. We understand the importance that this drives at the end of the day. We feel it is absolutely critical to get the flying public back feeling confident to be able to go on aircraft. You know, flying will recover, that the magnitude or the amount of flying, it will recover. We got to make sure it's done in a highly safe manner. And I think the perception of how we travel today will be forever altered by the experiences that we're going through right now. Yeah. And I think companies like ourselves at Honeywell, we look at these challenging problems and we'll develop solutions, technologically speaking, to help address those for the air traveler. Yeah. So thank you again for the chance.
It's been great having you. I had a client in a couple of days ago, and their other half is a pilot for a big airline. He's currently trying to see if he can get a job as a bus driver because he's so scared about his thing. So we've got to get people moving. We've got to get people back in those planes and safely back in those planes.
I agree.
And I appreciate what your company's doing to help there. That's brilliant.
Thank you.
A quick question I didn't put in beforehand. If you could get on a plane today, where would you go to?
Well, I'll be getting on a plane Saturday, to be honest. Yep. So I reside here at our European headquarters, which is located in Switzerland, and I'll be going on vacation starting Saturday, and I'll be getting on a plane, and I'll be traveling back to the United States to see family.
Oh, wow. Okay, well, I hope you have a fantastic time. I know you're going to keep safe. You're going to keep well, but have a fantastic time.
Thank you very much.
Okay, just to close out, you chose another song. Just like you to share why you chose it and maybe just introduce it to the listeners first.
Yeah, so this one for me, it kind of follows the earlier song that we started the discussions with. It's another feel-good, upbeat song. Like I mentioned before, music is a big part of my life. It's a big part of my family's life, so we like to surround ourselves with positive, uplifting music. And this one in particular is one that I'm a huge fan of. It's titled Out of My League, and it's by Fits and the Tantrums.
Okie dokes. Is that by any chance because you feel out of your league with your other half or not? I thought that's what came to my mind when I looked at the lyrics. I thought, oh, yes. This is one which my wife
would ask on that one.
Thank you so much for your time anyway, and yeah, keep safe, keep well.
Thank you, Peter. Thank you so much, and be safe and be well as well.
Okay, thank you. Fitz and the Tantrums and the song Out of My League. Hope you enjoyed it. That was chosen by Jim Currier, our interviewee today, and he is from Honeywell Aerospace. Hope you enjoyed that interview, and hopefully it's given you some ambition, some confidence to go traveling again, to get on an aeroplane knowing that it's safe. In actual fact, I've just finished dinner here with my wife and some of the children and the family, and they've all been talking excitedly about having a break somewhere, and we're all deciding which places in the world we'd like to go, which ones don't we have to quarantine on the way back from, which are the safest from the point of view of once we get there, because I think it does seem to be that we are hopefully going to be a lot safer in the air now. So thank you so much, Jim, for sharing that. I hope that all of you will tune in again next week and listen to the show next week. We've got some exciting people coming up over the coming weeks on the show, which I'm really looking forward to sharing with you. Please, if you have any questions at all about today, I can pass them on to Jim. So please do get in touch with me. You can do that via the Diabetes Show at undefeated.org. The Diabetes Show at undefeated.org. Undefeated, remember, is spelled with all E's. And if you haven't checked out our website before, then please do. Undefeated.org. Again,
Undefeated spelt with all E's, of course. And in case you're new to the show and you don't know what Undefeated is all about, we are a non-for-profit organization based here in the UK, and our aim is to help people with diabetes prevent lower limb complications that can lead to amputation. Our vision is that by 2035, the number of amputations in the world, which is currently one every 20 seconds, will be cut by two-thirds, so it'll become one a minute. That is still a pretty horrific statistic, but to cut by two-thirds is going to be a huge, huge task. And we need you. We need you to do your bit, but you won't be one of those statistics. And those people in your family, friends, network who you know have got diabetes, point them in the direction of the Diabetes Show, where they can learn how to be in the diabetes sweet spot, how to keep safe, and how to prevent those horrific side effects that can take place. So I hope you have enjoyed this show. We're going to have one final song to close out with now. And this is a song which I'm going to dedicate to the memory of my aunt and uncle, Auntie Thelma and Uncle Brian. He was a pilot. No, he wasn't. I correct myself. He was a flight engineer for British Airways some time ago. And their favourite song, one of their favourite songs, was by John Denver. And it is called Leaving on a Jet Plane. Tune in again next week to the Diabetes Show here on UK Health Radio. Have a fantastic week. Keep safe, keep well, and most of all, enjoy yourself. God bless you. Enjoy the song, John Denver, Leaving on a Jet Plane.
All my bags are packed, I'm ready to go. I'm standing here outside the door. I hate to wake you up to say goodbye, but the dawn is breaking, it's early morn. The taxi's waiting, he's blown his horn. Already I'm so lonesome I could die. So kiss me and smile for me, tell me that you'll wait for me, hold me like you'll never let me go. 'Cause I'm leaving on a jet plane, don't know when I'll be back again. Oh babe, I hate to go. There's so many times I've let you down, so many times I've played around. I tell you now, they don't mean a thing. Every place I go, I think of you. Every song I sing, I'll sing for you. When I come back, I'll bring your wedding ring. So kiss me and smile for me, tell me that you'll wait for me, hold me like you'll never let me go. 'Cause I'm leaving on a jet plane, don't know when I'll be back again. Oh babe, I hate to go. The time has come to leave you. One more time, let me kiss you. Then close your eyes and I'll be on my way. Dream about the days to come when I won't have to leave alone. About the times I won't have to say. Kiss me and smile for me, tell me that you'll wait for me, hold me like you'll never let me go. 'Cause I'm leaving on a jet plane, don't know when I'll be back again. Oh babe, I hate to go. Back again. Oh.
obey. I hate to go.
And that is it for this week's show. You've been listening to Peter Olsen with The Diabetes Show here on UK Health Radio, your global, real, feel-good radio station. All of the names is for me to say have a fantastic week. Stay safe in the diabetes sweet spot. Live in the ideal diabetic lifestyle. I look forward to sharing more with you next week. Take good care and God bless. We'll be right back.